Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. As most of you know, if you are a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, Solomon is dealing with the money trap in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. That is, he's talking about the deceitfulness of riches. It will entice you into a snare, into a trap that will hold you fast and make it difficult for you to get out, and then it will destroy you, just like an animal trap. Every now and then you'll see, perhaps on a television program, somebody who's walking through the woods and they inadvertently step in an animal trap and it springs and it catches them and they're caught. They can't get out. And it's not only painful, but if they don't get somebody that can come along and help them spring that trap and get them out and get their injury tended to, it's going to kill them. It's going to destroy them. It was a trap, unsuspecting. They didn't think it was there. They didn't know it was there. And they stepped in it inadvertently, and there they were. And that's the way money is. It is deceitful, and it is a trap. It is a snare, and it will deceive and destroy many, many people if you don't pay attention to the wisdom of God's Word. And so, in the first six verses of Ecclesiastes 6, Solomon tells us why some people can never enjoy their possessions, and we've already covered those verses. And now as we come to verses 7 through 9, he's going to tell us why we can never be satisfied with things. Why we can never be satisfied with things. And he lays it out for us, and I'll give those to you, and then we'll come back and look at them one by one. But why can we never be satisfied with things? Number one, because when wealth is the goal, it's never enough. Number two, because a discontented rich man is worse off than a contented poor man. And number three, because discontent renders possessions unsatisfactory. That's why we can never be satisfied with things. And so we'll take those up one by one. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, October 5. And thank you for remembering that we depend upon your gifts in order to sustain this program on this station. All right, first of all, because when wealth is the goal, it's never enough. Verse 7, and by the way, that particular point has been covered previously in chapter 5, but he brings it back up again. Here it is, verse 7. All the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. It's a proverb. A lot of the statements in Ecclesiastes are proverbs, just like those found in the book of Proverbs. But here's what he says. All the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. What is he saying? Well, he's saying when, and that might be a better way to put it, when everything that you are accumulating is for the purpose of self-indulgence, self-satisfaction, it's all for me, 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 it's never enough. All the labor of man is for his mouth, or these are figures of speech, when everything that a man is laboring for is to feed himself, it's for his mouth, yet the soul is not satisfied. He can never get enough. That's why we cannot be satisfied with things, because when wealth is the goal, it is never enough. Some people don't seem to understand the difference between becoming wealthy when that wasn't your intention, it wasn't your goal, but it happened because of God's blessing upon your life, and making wealth your goal, striving for it, working for it, straining for it, determined to achieve it at any cost, and gaining it that way. When you gain wealth that way, it doesn't satisfy. When your goal is serving God and honoring and pleasing Him, and He puts you in a location, He puts you in a vocation, He puts you in a position where your efforts to be diligent in serving and pleasing the Lord are blessed by God to return wealth to you, but that wasn't your purpose, that wasn't your goal. You didn't set out to achieve wealth. Your goal all along was to honor God and to be faithful and diligent with what He gave you to do. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You did that, and in the goodness of God, and many times, to your great surprise, it resulted in an abundance of wealth that you really weren't laboring for. That wasn't your goal. That wasn't what you expected, but here it came. And if you will treat that respectfully and in a godly way and not let it go to your head, not let it change your philosophy of life, you started out not living for things and not making that your goal, and yet God blessed you with them anyway. Now, if you'll keep your life on the same track, continue living for God and make pleasing Him your goal, and now incorporating these unexpected financial blessings into that overall philosophy, now you've got something else besides your time and your talents and your labors, but now you've got these financial resources that you can use as means to bring honor and glory to God. If you view it that way, then it will bring a great deal of satisfaction. But when money's the goal, money's the object, money is what you are living for, you'll never have enough to satisfy. Why can we never be satisfied with things? Number one, because when wealth is the goal, it's never enough. Why can we never be satisfied with things? Number two, because a discontented rich man is worse off than a contented poor man. That's verse 8. For what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? What is he saying? What more does the worldly wise man have than the worldly fool? A clever person who achieves wealth compared to an unclever person who doesn't. What's the difference between them? Here's a capable person. He's got a good intellect. He's got some good skills. He is worldly wise, and with his worldly wisdom, he achieves wealth. Now, when you compare him to a poor person who's, you know, pretty average or maybe even below average in many ways, he's not clever. He's not one of these shrewd people that seems to be able to figure out how to turn everything to his financial advantage. He's just laboring on in life at a common ordinary job, and he's never going to be rich. He's fortunate if he stays healthy enough to be able to continue to work and to earn a living, but he's never going to be rich. But what's the difference between that clever person who achieves wealth compared to that unclever person who remains poor? What is the difference ultimately? And Solomon says nothing if the wealthy person is discontent. But he goes on to say, what does the poor person have who knows godly wisdom? And the answer is everything, because he's satisfied with his life. That's essentially what verse 8 is saying. I know it doesn't come across as clearly as that. I'll read it again, and then I'll explain it in the terms that I've already laid out for you. For what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? Again, here's what he is saying. If you compare the discontented rich man, clever though he may be, with the poor man, who also may be discontented, what's the difference? They're both discontented with life. You know poor people, relatively poor, below average in material substance, and they're dissatisfied, always discontent because they don't have more, always looking at those who have more with envy, always coveting those things that are around them. They're discontent. They can't enjoy their lot in life. You say, what a shame that is. And many people think the answer to that is give them more. In fact, that's the world's attitude. Why do we have restless poor people in this world? It's because they don't have their fair share of the economic pie, so to speak. So we can make them happy by giving them a bigger share. Let's give them stuff to make them happy, but it never works. We've been working at this for decades and decades and decades. The government has. And has it reduced the level of poverty and has it increased the level of satisfaction? No. In fact, if anything, it seems to have just raised the level of dissatisfaction to a greater degree. It's not the amount of goods that make people satisfied. It's their relationship with God. It's a matter of the inner man. It's a matter of the heart. But there's no advantage for the rich man who's discontent over the poor man who's discontent. Neither of them can enjoy life. Neither of them can enjoy what they have. And having more isn't going to change anything. But how about the poor person who is godly? He knows godly wisdom. What is his situation? Well, he's in a strong position because he's satisfied with his life as it is. He recognizes that he has exactly what God intends for him to have. He's content because of his relationship with God, which is more important to him than anything else. He knows that God is going to supply his needs. As a child of God, he has that promise and he believes it. Therefore, he really doesn't need anything because he has what he needs, and if he gets to a place where he has needs that exceed his present resources, he knows that God's going to supply. God has promised to supply his need. So he really doesn't have anything to be concerned about. His life is in God's hands. He has what God has given to him for the moment, and if he needs more, God will give him more. And that's not what he lives for anyway. He's not living for things. He's living for a walk with God, communion with God, serving God, worshiping God. That's where he finds his delight, and his life is contented. Now, he's far, far, far better off than the rich man who's discontented. So why can we never be satisfied with things? Number one, because when wealth is the goal, it's never enough. And number two, because a discontented rich man is worse off than a contented poor man. Understand that and live according to it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.